Welcome again to our study in the Gospel of St. Luke. This beautiful book, pronounced by the French philosopher Rentz as being the most beautiful book ever written, is something we are now studying. And Luke was a medical physician, and he was called the beloved physician by the Apostle Paul. He accompanied the Apostle Paul on many of his trips, and he wrote not only Luke's Gospel, but he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And so he had very first-hand experience of the New Testament church. Well, he has culminated all this, or accumulated all these truths for us. And now we're looking at chapter 8 in the Gospel of Luke. And after all these things that we've studied previously, he went out through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And you know, it's very interesting, we think of the 12 apostles with him, but there are also women who ministered unto him, and some were interesting. Mary called Magdalene. She's probably a very great sinner, out of whom he cast 7 demons. And then we have somebody else, the other end of the social spectrum, shall I say, and that was Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered to him of their substance. And that is how the Lord was provided for. And so often there is a case when God calls us to the ministry that he will have people who are looking after us, providing for our needs, so that we can devote ourselves to the ministry. It's interesting that Jesus never made an appeal for funds. They were always there when he needed it. And now we come to verse 4, and we have Jesus speaking on the parable of the sower. And this is repeated in other Gospels too. And therefore it's a very important truth that we want to consider. And so we're looking at the parable of the sower. And essentially, he's saying, well, a sower went forth to sow. And some fell by the wayside, and was trodden down, the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, sprang up, bare fruit, and 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so the disciples said to him, you know, when they were alone, he said, what does this parable mean? Well, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And so, right at the onset, we have this sort of parables. Why did Jesus speak in parables? And the explanation he gives here and elsewhere is this, that he speaks in parables because to some it is given to know the mysteries of God, and to others it is not. And so if we understand these things, happy are we, blessed are we, if we understand what Jesus is saying, and if these parables are clear to us. Well, he gives an explanation of them. The parable, the seed, is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And so there are some who hear the word of God, might even go to church, but they don't understand, and the devil comes and takes that word out of their hearts. So we've got to be very careful that when we hear things, we treasure those things. We don't lose them. Well, then the rock. They receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. You know, patient continuance in well-doing is that which receives eternal rewards and glory and brings us into heaven. See, it's not so much the beginning, but it's the end of our life that is important. How do we end our life? How do we end our life? And that is so important. It's like a race. We're told the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 12 speaks of this life as being a race. And the all-important thing is that we finish the race, and that we believe and we are vibrant in the life and presence of Jesus at the end of our life. And here are these that started well, but when temptation came, they fell away. Well, there are those that fell among the thorns. And this is particularly important. When they heard, go forth and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. The cares. We've got to be so careful that we put all our cares upon him, for he careth for us, and he is our burden bearer. We must not be overcome with cares. Riches. You know, we have the rich young ruler who could not follow the Lord because of his riches. And the Lord said, very clearly indeed, that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, because he trusts in his riches and not in the Lord to save him. And pleasures, you know, and another word for pleasures is sport. We've got to be so careful. You know, sport has a tremendous impact upon people. Look at the tremendous salaries these players get just for tossing a ball around. I mean, it's ridiculous. But no, they're very important, because they get people watching them, you see, and do not indeed consider the word of God, the pleasures of this life. Be careful that pleasures do not overcome you. And then those on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And there we have what we have said before. Patient continuance in well-doing brings forth the fruit of eternal life. You see, it's not just sufficient to start well. We must continue. You see, in continuance, with patience, will bring forth fruit. What does a farmer want when he sows seed or plants a tree? He wants fruit. We see that's exactly what the Lord himself wants from our lives. And when he gives to us the word of God, his intent is that word comes into our heart, takes root down, brings forth fruit upwards. And what is the fruit that God wants? Well, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance. That's the fruit that God wants to come forth from our hearts. And that is the ground that is blessed. And then he said this, take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. And it's the old adage, in a secular life we say, money makes money. Well, in the spiritual life, what you have, you will receive. The one who studies will receive more truth. The one that worships will experience God's presence. And those who give, it shall be given to them. In other words, what you sow, you will reap. What you sow, you will reap. And that's very important indeed. And so those that sow much will reap much. And then his mother and his brethren come to him. And someone comes up to Jesus, there's a crowd around, said, thy mother and thy brethren are outside, they want to come in, they want to see you. Which is a very reasonable request. But he answered, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And that is something that's very important indeed. You know, many people worship Mary, putting him on a higher plane than is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But look, on earth, the mother could not persuade the son to come out to her. How then do you expect, when they are both dead, how do you expect praying to the mother, Mary, Queen of Heaven, as some call her, that she's going to have any influence upon her son? No, none at all. Now, the people that have influence are the people who obey the word of God and do what Jesus says. Let us be one of those. Well, he then comes to the Lake of Galilee, and he said, launch out, let's go to the other side. And the wind came, with the result that a storm came, because there are these gullies, these valleys from the mountains into the sea, and when the temperature changes, it creates a rush of air coming into the sea, and great waves come up. And this was such a case. Started out smooth, but now there was a problem. And so it was so bad that the boat was sinking. And Jesus was curled up in the back on a pillow, his head on a pillow, sleeping. And Peter came and shook him and said, don't you care that we perish? And I had a friend who had a vision of this. He said, Jesus simply just stretched himself, and afterwards he went to the side of the boat and just said, peace, be still. And the result was the storm ceased. And they were amazed. Well, they then come to the place of the Gadarenes. And there's a man there filled with the devil, and Jesus cast out the devils. And when casting out the devils said to him, "Oh, please let us go into the swine over there, 2,000 swine." You know, devils want a house. They want something that they can inhabit. And they were being cast out of their house, this man. And so they viewed those swine and said, "Oh, give us permission to go into the swine." And Jesus said, "All right, you can go into the swine." And when the swine were inhabited with those demons, well, they rushed down the slope into the Sea of Galilee, and there were choked. Well, the people, you know, said, "We don't want you coming back. We don't want you coming back." They were afraid. They were afraid. They lost their livelihood through all these swine falling into the lake. And they said to Jesus, "Please don't come again." But one of the things I want to emphasize here is this. And it's something that we've seen in Luke's gospel so often. That here is someone hopelessly bound in the natural. But Jesus, you know, delivers. And I want to say to you, that it doesn't matter how hopelessly you are bound by alcohol or smoking or marijuana or something like that. Jesus can deliver you. Jesus can deliver you. And I want to encourage you, come to Jesus in whatever state you're in, and he can deliver you. This man was completely delivered. He cut himself. Nobody could come near him. He broke the chains that people put around him. The demons were so strong. But when Jesus came, he was completely delivered, and he was in his right mind. Now, if Jesus could do that for a man hopelessly bound and whom nobody could control, can he not do that for you? It doesn't matter what your condition is. Jesus can deliver you. And I want to encourage you, in whatever need you have, to come to Jesus, and he will help you. And he can change your circumstances just like that. And so remember this man who was completely healed and in his right mind. And, of course, he wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus had another plan for him. He said, "You go round about and tell the great things that the Lord has done for you." And then when the Lord returned to that country, because of the testimony of this man, they all received him gladly. And I want you to receive Jesus gladly into your hearts, so that whatever your need is, you can be transformed by the power of the Son of God. Now then, there was a ruler. There was a ruler, and of a synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet, besought him that he would come into his house, because he had an only daughter, 12 years of age. I beg your pardon, 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. And he said, "Oh, come and heal her." And so Jesus turns, and he's on his way to meet this little girl. But on the way, there's a woman who hath an issue of blood for 12 years, and the physicians could not heal her in any way whatsoever. And she had spent her living on the physicians. Well, she came behind him and she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And so, as the crowd surrounded Jesus, she somehow crept in and stretched out her hand and touched Jesus. And her virtue left Jesus, went into that woman, and she was completely healed. Jesus said, well, who touched me? And the disciple said, well, look, the multitudes around you, how can you say who touched me? But Jesus knew that someone had touched him in a way that the others had not. Some had the touch of faith. This woman in particular had that touch of faith. And this woman in particular received healing. And when she knew that she was discovered, she came at his feet. And he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And that thought of thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, it speaks, of course, of her problem with her blood, but also something more than that. She was made whole. And don't you want to be made whole? That you come to Jesus, you know, by faith, and you stretch out your hand, as it were, by faith, to touch him by faith, and God will heal. Well, he is now continuing his walk down to the home of the ruler of the synagogue. And someone came out from that home and he said, trouble not, don't come in, for she is dead. And Jesus said, oh no, she isn't. She is sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. Now, what actually happened? Well, there was a little testimony in Zimbabwe when it was the old southern Rhodesia. And here there was a lady who was dying. Her husband was an elder in the church, and when she died, he rushed to find the pastor. The pastor and the elder came rushing into the home, and the woman who had died testified that she had come out of her body, and she was standing very near to her body, and she saw her husband and the pastor come. And she was tired of life. She was glad to die. And she said within herself, oh, pastor, this is one of the times that your prayers are not going to be answered. Well, the pastor said to the elder, you got any oil? And the elder said, well, I think it was some cooking oil down in the basement. He said, well, get that. So they got the cooking oil. They poured it on the body of the wife and continued to pray. And the wife was horrified that, her body had been immersed in all this cooking oil. And then she looked at the door and she saw the path leading up to her house, and Jesus was walking up. And Jesus said, I want everyone to know that I can raise the dead. And he said, you must go back into your body. She pleaded with him, I don't want to go back. But he said, you must, because I want everybody to believe. And so what happened was, he brought her to her body, touched her. She went back into her body. And of course, the pastor and the elder were delighted. Well, that's essentially what happened here that the spirit of the young girl had left her body just standing there. And when Jesus came, he reunited the spirit of the girl with her body, and so she could arise. And so we have another great miracle. And we seem to be concentrating on miracles, concentrating on the fact that Jesus is able to heal. And I want you to believe him. And I want you to trust him that he can do all things well. And so this lady in southern Rhodesia, how she was gloriously healed when she had died, because the Lord came in at the behest of the prayers of her husband and pastor, and she was raised, as were this little girl, the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. And what Jesus did then, he can do today, and he is doing today. And so whatever your need, I want you to come to the Lord and ask him to meet you and provide for you. And with that touch of faith, you know, you will find that he provides for you body, soul, and spirit. May the Lord richly bless you, and you find Jesus.